Thank you for joining us today on Minot Today and KHRT Radio. I'm your host, Bob Tim, and I have two guests today, Joe Yustavenis and Dave Olva. Joe and Dave are with 10-Minute Bail Bonds out of Williston. However, they are also known as Minot Bail Bonds right here in Minot. You may wonder why I have these gentlemen here, and I think it'll become real clear when we start visiting. But at first, I'm going to ask Dave to introduce himself, and then we'll pass the mic on to Joe.
I'm Dave Wolvog. I'm 29 years old. I've been in North Dakota now for just shy of a decade, and I've been in bail bonds for about 4.5 years and riding bail for about 2.5. And Joe and I have been best friends for about 7 years now.
John?
I am 36 years old. I grew up in Kalispell, Montana. I've been in the Bakken area since 2011. I worked for another bail company for a couple of years before I ventured out and started my own company. And I've been running that now for 5 years. And it's been quite the journey.
And you mentioned, too, that you're not that far away from getting a law degree. Is that correct?
I'm looking at pursuing a law degree either this fall or next spring. I was a paralegal for a criminal defense attorney over Montana for close to a decade before moving out to Williston.
That's really exciting. I've gotten to know these gentlemen because of an acquaintance of mine that I actually posted bail for, or you guys did, kind of a combination of the two there. And it was really fun to get to know you guys and visit with you. I'm going to tell our listeners that you are both very strong in the faith, very avid worshipers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and just wanted to throw that perspective out there so people knew that. First question I have for you is, when I first was introduced to this whole process, I had no idea there was more than one kind of a bond. Just thought a bond was a bond. Let's take it from there.
In North Dakota, there are two types of bonds. There are cash bonds and there are surety bonds. So a cash bond is where somebody would go and place a sum amount of money in with the jail or the courts in order to get somebody released to ensure their appearance in court. Basically provide skin in the game to make sure that they go by the court's requirements that they may have. The court imposes conditions when somebody is released on bail, you know, to remain law-abiding, make all their court appearances, keep in contact with their attorney, advise the court of any change of address, that type of thing. The other bond is a surety bond, and that is where we come in. Basically, a lot of people don't carry cash or don't have access to cash, especially in the middle of the night. People's ATMs are limited on what they can take, so they call us, and essentially we act as a guarantor to the courts that the person will make their appearances. We charge a fee that's mandated by the state for that bond, and occasionally we can post the bond requiring nothing else, just posting the fee and having them released. Other bonds sometimes require a cosigner, sometimes they require collateral. Every bond is different.
My first introduction into why on earth would a Christian listener need to know anything about bonds really comes from my reading of Gail Schmidkun's book, I Am Not Silent. That is such an interesting read, and I've had Gail on the program before to talk about his book, but a person never knows. You may all of a sudden find yourself in a situation, and it may not have anything to do with the actions you have taken, but maybe a loved one, and it may be through an accident. But good people need bondsmen probably more than anybody.
Absolutely.
Another question I have is, as I mentioned, I have a friend that I bonded out of jail recently, and something that wasn't explained to me, and I just didn't think about it at the time, is when you bail somebody out, how long are you accountable for that? I didn't know if after a week you just get your money back or whatever, or your responsibility is done. But if I understand correctly, they may not go to trial for 6 months, and you're kind of on the hook for that whole 6 months. Is that correct?
It depends on the severity of the charge and how many charges there are. I've seen cases settled within a matter of weeks. I've seen cases drag on for 2 years. It just depends on multiple factors. I think the longest case was a little over 2 years, and they ended up actually getting the charge dismissed because they had a really pit bull for an attorney, and they really fought for them. Most cases settle. There are not a lot of cases that go to trial. Misdemeanors generally are done within 6 months. Felonies are done usually within a year. Sometimes they can last a year and a half. And a cosigner is responsible for them for their court appearances until the case is closed. A lot of people believe that they are only cosigning for the first court appearance. As long as they make the first court appearance, they're good. And unfortunately, that's not the case. It's for the entirety of the case. Another misnomer is that the fee that they pay us, once the case is closed, they get that fee back, which is not correct. Now, that fee is earned the minute they walk out the door, and that's the fee that's set by the state of North Dakota, and that's how we make our money.
Well, that makes sense. You're not in this for charity. I would assume, again, that most cases are similar to the one that I've presented. This acquaintance, and I won't use any names, was incarcerated for drug abuse. And a typical case like that, where it is a felony, what are we looking at for time-wise?
There's things that I can say and things that I can't say. I can't give legal advice. I can't provide legal information. I can tell you that a Class C felony, which is the lowest felony, is punishable by up to 5 years in prison and a fine. On a first offense of a felony, we typically don't see something like that. Typically, a case is settled out. Sometimes it's taken drawn down to a misdemeanor. Other times they receive a deferred imposition of sentence. Other times they get a suspended sentence. It really has to do with the attorney that's representing them, if they have one. And it also has a lot to do with how proactive they are instead of being reactive. Are they going to go get a chemical dependency evaluation to show the courts that they're taking steps to help this? There's a phrase that's used by one of the prosecutors over in Williston. It says that you trust everybody. It's the drugs inside them you don't trust.
Joe and Dave, what I'm getting around to here, and then we'll move on to some other questions, is that when I say I'm on the hook, okay, as you mentioned, I paid your fee, that's gone, that I'm not off the hook, though, because if this person were to split and go ghost, then the person posting the bond could end up owing a lot more money than the fee that was paid to you for the bond.
Yeah, it's like a car loan. Think of it that way. You co-sign a loan for somebody and they stop making the payments on the loan, the loaner will come to you to fulfill that obligation. It's the same concept with bail. While we're not alone, you know, that individual doesn't meet their obligations to the court by making their appearances and they've disappeared on us. We go to the co-signer, which when they sign, given the expectation that if this individual doesn't make their appearance, you will be responsible for the total bond amount.
So to wrap this up, I paid you guys $600 for a $3,000 bond. If this person would split and you can't find them, then I need to pay that $3,000 as well.
Correct. Okay.
Well, I just wanted to wrap that up because, again, I'm sure that the bulk of our listeners had no idea, just like I didn't.
And I will mention one thing that sounds very intimidating to a lot of people. Just because somebody misses court doesn't mean they're instantly responsible. People get flat tires, dead batteries, their rides don't show up, there's blizzards, they oversleep, they transpose a court date. If they genuinely miss court and they make it right, we can get off of the liability, therefore taking the person that co-signed off of the liability as well. It is literally one of the situations where somebody flees or hides and we can't get them back in front of the courts within a specific period. Then we go to the co-signer.
Our listeners can't see this, but I wouldn't want Dave after me.
What it comes down to, Bob, it's less than 1% of the people that we deal with that actually flee. We have a rate of around 6-9% that do miss court, and it's because of legitimate reasons. People forget, things happen, life happens. Our job as bondsmen isn't to jump right back out and throw someone in jail the minute something doesn't go the way it was originally supposed to. Our job is to keep people out of jail. That's what we try to do every time we deal with an individual.
And that's a great service for the families of these people. Like my friend has been able to spend time with their children and parents and so forth. $600 may sound like a lot to put your neck out for, but now this person can be with their family, can go to worship and so on. You had mentioned there are two different kinds of bonds. Which bond do you work with most often?
Most often is the surety bond. We do post cash bonds as well, but cash bonds are very limited on what we can do. Essentially, if somebody has a cash bond that's, say, it's a $5,000 cash-only bond, we would have to run the entire bond amount plus our fee onto a credit card or a debit card, essentially using their own money to post a cash bond. The surety bond is mainly what we do.
Joe, you are the owner, and I don't believe I asked you this question. What made you get into this business in the first place?
Several years ago in Williston, I went to bond a friend out of jail, and I couldn't get a hold of a bondsman. One guy goes to bed at 9 o'clock, one guy had recently passed away, and one guy had been suspended. So there was no way for me to bond somebody out utilizing a bondsman by paying a small fee as opposed to trying to come up with all the cash myself. And I realized that there was a need, and so I filled it.
You've seen a few companies come and go. I know that because when I looked in the phone book, there was like 12 names in there, and I think maybe two of them are operating now.
Correct. They wrote bad bail.
And that was the most recent phone book I'm talking about.
Yep.
Dave, how'd you get into it?
I didn't see a need. I was told there was a need for my intimidation size. We had a situation for another company at the time that had one of those 1% people I'd mentioned. And I have a God-given ability of tracking people. And I helped Joe out. He requested we'd work together at a previous employment together. And he said, hey, I need help with this thing. And helped him. I really enjoyed what I did. And I got into the, I don't want to say darker side of bail bonds, but I got into the side that we don't like to do much, which is the recovery aspect of it. I did that for several years between two other companies, one of which isn't here anymore. And I decided that I really wanted to get more into the bail bond stuff. I wanted to help out people as opposed to being the bad news bearer. And started working with Joe with 10-minute bail bonds and started writing. And it's something I have a severe passion for. I really enjoy what I do.
Well, that's neat. And like I said at the beginning, I've just been very impressed with both of your guys' faith. And it's inspiring to me that we have such good people in this system looking out for other people. Gentlemen, we're already run out of time, but I'm going to ask for a parting comment from each of you. You want to go first, Dave?
Yeah, when people think bail bonds, they think of one of two things. They automatically jump to Dog the Bounty Hunter on TV, which is not what we do. And then they automatically think of very scary people done something very horrible and whatever that involves jail. And that's a misnomer. It's not what it is. We deal with regular people that you would never be able to pick out on the street that are just normal folks who have a job, who have families, who found themselves in a position that's unfortunate. We've dealt with kids that are still in high school who got busted for enjoying prom just a little bit too much. We deal with all sorts of things. Our faith is really what pushes us to keep doing what we do to represent people. Proverbs 31 is really the linchpin of what we do. And it's Proverbs 31, verse 8 through 9, which is, open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth and judge righteously, and defend the rights of the poor and needy. I'm not saying that everybody that we deal with is poor and needy, but everybody deserves to have somebody there in their corner when they're in the worst day. That's what we deal with, is a lot of people in their worst day.
Absolutely. Thanks for sharing that, Dave. Joe, parting words?
The majority of the time that we post bail for people, it's their first experience with such an issue. We are there to provide more than just 10 minutes of service with 10-minute bail bonds in Williston, Minot bail bonds here in Minot. After we post a bond, our phone is available 24/7. If somebody has a question about their bond, if somebody has a question about their appearance, if somebody has concerns, I've literally been asked by people that I've bonded out. They've called me in the middle of the night wanting to shoot up, and that's pretty graphic. I've helped them to get a bed at a treatment facility. I've taken people to the hospital before. I've helped people that are in depression over a current charge they're facing go down, have a cup of coffee with them. I'm not a counselor, but I'm here to offer more than just getting somebody out of jail. So this is definitely something that I love to do. It's definitely something I'm passionate about and expanding to other areas in the state. My goal eventually is in the entire state of North Dakota and eastern Montana. Where there's a need, we'll fill it.
Well, it sounds like you guys have made it your ministry. I really appreciate you coming all the way to Minot just to do this short interview on KHRT. So thank you for being here, gentlemen.
We appreciate you having us. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.